In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you on this wonderful Friday, and I hope you had a great week. I know I did, you know, just finishing up the tour with the Australian speakers through the great state of Texas, which was fantastic. We had a great time. The guys are well on their way back to Australia, 17-hour flight back from Dallas-Fort Worth direct to Sydney, and so they are still in the air. And they will, actually, they're going to miss Friday. They left last night, which is Thursday, and they'll get there on Saturday. You know, with the international dateline change, there's no Friday. And you know, the first time that happened to me, I was like, what's going on here? So I had to actually pray the entire office for the day on the plane, you know, for the day that I missed. And then on the way back, you get back before you leave, which is another thing that was very interesting. But yeah, we had a great time. Thank you, Texas, for a wonderful trip. And we're gonna talk about it, debrief, and figure out what we're gonna do for next year. We're gonna tour next year with the guys from Australia. So thank you for your prayers and for your support, especially for all the EWTN family members that came out to see us. And we love you guys and all the listeners of EWTN Radio and Beacon of Truth. You guys were absolutely awesome, and thank you for making it such a wonderful experience. I am now in Denver, Colorado, where I am preparing to speak at the 2025 Denver Marian Conference at the Colorado Convention Center, right in downtown Denver, with Father Chris Alar and Father Bill Casey, and myself. Obviously, everybody knows who those guys are for EWTN. Regular, you know, Father Chris Alar is obviously still has a show on there now on Divine Mercy. Father Bill Casey's talks have been featured on the network in his homilies, and just, man, powerful, powerful preacher. He's in the same order as Father Wade Menezes, the Fathers of Mercy. There are also two local priests that are going to be here as well. So it starts tonight. Friday, the conference opens up at about 5 o'clock tonight. They have the rosary. Then my talk is at 6:30 p.m. tonight, followed by mass at 8 o'clock, with Father Chris Alar is going to be the main celebrant and giving the homily. Then I'm giving two talks tomorrow afternoon, both talks in the afternoon tomorrow, and Father Casey and Father Alar are speaking in the morning. So, very much looking forward to this. I don't come to this area very often, to Denver. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be giving these presentations. My talk tonight is going to be on prayer. And then tomorrow, the Marian Heart of Suffering and My Flesh for the Life of the World, the Eucharist and Evangelization. So you're going to join us again, 2025 Denver Marian Conference at the Colorado Convention Center, downtown Denver. Hope to see you here this weekend. You know, yesterday we spoke about was the Feast of the Guardian Angels. Had a number of people responding to that. A lot of people have some amazing experiences with their guardian angels. And so we had an email from Diana sharing a story about an encounter when she was 5 years old with a guardian angel. She was walking through the woods and heard someone speaking to her, and she thought it was a mother calling her, but she thought that something was wrong, ran back through the woods to the house, and there was no one there, and she said, "Mom, I heard you call me," and then and she was told that it actually wasn't her mother, but it probably was just an angel. So just killed the snake, and moving her away from there saved her from being bit by a snake. So pretty awesome. Love when people share their experiences, especially on a topic that we talk about on the show here. There's another email that came in about the show on guardian angels. It says, can we name our angel? I have heard yes and no, Cat in Georgia. And the answer is no. Angels already have names. And we just don't know what they are. God has already given them names, and so we don't name our guardian angel. A pretty simple answer to that. And then we have another email from someone just wanted to make a comment. Through science and understanding nature, those that rebelled against our Creator are still trying to overcome Him. Science and understanding the human mind is how Satan attempts to conquer our free will by overriding our ability to think for ourselves. The road to hell is paved to the best intentions, and through careful omissions and false premises, we've been led further down the garden path today than most of us even realize. And so what I would make and that's from Zachary. So I'd make a little correction to that. I would say, because, yes, Satan is trying to destroy covenant relationship with God. That's his goal. It's to destroy intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with the living God. But he doesn't go against our will in order to do that. So he tempts us, and in that temptation, you know, we need to stay strong and firm in our faith, cooperating with the grace of the sacraments during those times of temptation. But he's not God. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent or any of that. But he does try to tempt us a way. He knows he's extremely intelligent, obviously, but and he tries to find ways to tempt us. He pushes on our weak points. He uses things like anger, frustration, and emotion in order to not think clearly about how we are to be in relationship with God and all those kinds of things. But to say that conquer our free will, no, he doesn't force. He tempts us to use our free will to say no to God, but he doesn't conquer or overcome our free will. But he tempts us to use our free will to move away from God's. One little adjustment I would make there to otherwise wonderful observations by Zachary. Well, today, my friends, on the show, we're talking about evangelizing without words. How do we talk about our faith, our one holy Catholic apostolic faith, evangelizing witnesses without words? Is it possible not to use words? And we're going to talk about that famous quote, St. Francis, which actually didn't say, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we'd love to hear from you, too. How do you evangelize and witness to the power of God's love without words? And is it even possible? Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I know this show wouldn't be possible unless we used words, and the people that also help us put the show together, Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who helped out on the social media, Matt Gabinski, who screens the calls, and, you know, the man of many words, Ace McKay, and many talents as well. How's it going today, Ace?
I don't know how to. It's going great. I don't know how to take that. I do feel like I have many words. Hopefully, I know
what
to.
Well, you're a songwriter. Hush. See, yeah. You're a songwriter, though. See, well, and songwriters use words and express their emotions and feelings and what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, it's fair. Well, and I would also say that if you're looking for a way to evangelize without words, use music.
There you go. See, that's right. Use someone else's words or use music, right?
Yeah.
Or signs or symbols and things like that. But is it even possible to effectively evangelize without words? That's the key. So, because some people thought, well, I'm not a good speaker.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Moses said the same thing to God. You're going to send me to talk to Pharaoh about letting people, I'm not a good speaker. I don't know what to say, that kind of thing. And God took the excuses away from giving him Aaron and don't worry about what to say. You know, when the time comes, you'll know what to say, that kind of thing, and trusting in God there. But yeah, I don't think we can evangelize effectively without using words, at least a few words, you know, even if it's just asking a question, I think is a powerful way to witness.
Well, and it's always good to point out when you mention Moses, I mean, he was the stutterer. So, I mean, I've got friends in broadcasting that would easily tell you they grew up a stutterer. So, again, never underestimate when God calls you, he equips those who just say yes. And we don't have to wait to suddenly have all these talents and gifts to be used by God. If we just go, yes, Lord, I would love to do that. Then he will equip you because you're now submissive to that.
Yeah, you're just open and submissive to his holy will. That's exactly right. And so I think if our hearts are open, to, you know, evangelization, even though we may not be, you know, talented with words or good with writing, God will find ways for us to witness to the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, when people see a couple together, you know, at a restaurant or praying together,
sure.
as a couple, these are all different ways that we can evangelize without words, I think, are powerful and effective because we're using the other senses.
Right.
Right. Using the other senses.
Yeah.
You know, incense at Mass, I think, is a wonderful way as well.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Evangelizing without words is our topic for this Friday on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EW10. Evangelizing without words is our topic today. 833-288-3986. It sounds like music by Phineas and Ferb or something like that.
I love that you know who Phineas and Ferb are.
Of course. You know, my kids were watching it when they were younger, and even young teenagers, they really enjoyed that. That's one of the shows that they watched that I actually enjoyed watching.
Yeah. I was that way you with know? The Wiggles. Like, there was, you know.
Oh, the Wiggles, yeah. Because they're musicians, right?
Sure, yeah.
Band. Yeah, yeah.
Which now I think they're back, and they're incorporating their kids or grown kids into as like a handing of the baton. So Wiggles haven't officially or they've rebooted, I guess, is the word they use these days.
Wiggles reboot. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, well, SpongeBob SquarePants and those are the things that my kids used to watch. But
best.
Barney, I couldn't stand it. Oh, I'm so glad when they got past that phase with Barney the dinosaur. Oh.
Agreed.
Torture. I mean, he was a singer, but come on.
Right. We use that term loosely.
Yeah, no gold records for him, for sure.
Right.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sibbers listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about evangelizing without words. Is that even possible to effectively share our faith without words? And how can we do it without? I think it's both and. Because what we do is we engage the other senses, right? Mm. So without words is hearing. Right. So what about the other? How do we engage those? Let's talk about that today. I think it's going to be have some great calls, great discussion today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Lots to celebrate this weekend, not only tomorrow for Father Mark Mary, obviously 22 years in ordination, also happy birthday, but our EWTN radio partners continuing to also get a little older and wiser and more support because of you. So 10 years, we want to congratulate to WTJW 93.1 in Jasper, Indiana. I've been through Jasper, Indiana. It's great. Steve and Linda doing their job, and of course, challenging all the families in the Tri-State Catholic Radio listening area. So thanks again for your support of EWTN and congratulations on 10 years.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, if you take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Psalms that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and when we pray the Divine Office and Liturgy of the Hours, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today, we're continuing our look, and hopefully get to the end of Psalm 132. So Psalm 132 is in Book 5 of the Psalms. It's also one of the gradual psalms, or what they call Songs of Ascents. Psalms 120 to 134. Are in those psalms. And these were psalms that were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to celebrate one of three feasts, the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, Pesach, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which is the wheat harvest, Shavuot in Hebrew, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which is the fruit harvest, Sukkot in Hebrew. So they would go and celebrate. And as they're traveling to Jerusalem, they would sing these Psalms 120 to the 134. Now, Psalm 132 is the longest by far of all of the gradual psalms or songs of ascents. And all the prescripts are pretty much the same. It says, Shir Hama'alot, a song of ascents. And then one's written by David. They said, you know, HaDavid of David, or 127 Solomon, Solome, right? HaSolome. But all the other ones are just Shir HaMa'alot, songs of ascents. And this particular psalm is remembering the kingship and the leadership of David. You know, so this was written after David died. And they're just talking about the greatness of David and his reign. So the psalm started off, "O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured, the oath he swore to the Lord, his vow to the strong one of Jacob." That's how that psalm starts. And he just goes talking about David and his accomplishments, how faithful he was. You know, the whole Bathsheba thing aside, because we're all sinners and need God's mercy. But how he united the kingdoms, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes in the north, and 2 tribes, Benjamin and Judah in the south. And so now we continue toward the end of the psalm, starting at verse 15, Psalm 132, verse 15. So this talks about through David's reign, how God chose to dwell with Zion, right? And remember, he was in that tent moving around with the Ark of the Covenant until Solomon started and built the first temple. So God remaining and being with his people, being in the presence of his people, says, "I will greatly bless her produce. I will fill her poor with bread." So these are promises of God who dwell with his people. "Greatly bless her produce. I will fill her poor with bread." So he'll feed us, right? He'll feed us with the, you know, the bread for the earth and animals and things like that. That's great. But I think this is also pointing towards, this is focusing on David, the new and eternal covenant where Christ at the Last Supper and in every holy sacrifice of the Mass following feeds us and nourishes us with his word, right? In the liturgy of the word, and with his body, blood, soul, divinity, and the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. So he will fill his poor with bread. Not just those that are poor, feeding the hungry, yes, of course, but also feeding those who are spiritually poor, right? Those who are spiritually bereft, those who are weakened because of their sin. Because when you're going a long distance, traveling somewhere, you get hungry. You know, and you know, when you're like, when we were traveling in Texas, you know, we pulled over and ate at Buc-ee's, you know, or something like Chick-fil-A or something like that. So you get hungry, you pull over and you eat. Well, we get hungry spiritually, and the Lord has given us for our, to nourish our spiritual bodies, the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity, to strengthen us along our way. So I will fill her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful shall ring out their joy. All right, so I'll clothe her priests with salvation. So obviously they're talking about here ministerial priests, but we can also make an argument here because there's only one priesthood in Christ, one, which we all share in. All of us share in the priesthood of Christ through baptism, right? We receive the charisms of priest, prophet, and king. And the main job of a priest is to offer sacrifice. So we make a sacrifice of our lives for God, right? Where we glorify God by the witness and the power of our lives. I will clothe her priest with salvation. And of course, it's a ministerial priesthood, of course. We have priests and bishops, right? Though that's the ministerial priesthood that administer the sacraments in parishes and dioceses and things like that. So we have both kinds. And you can make an argument here that David, or the psalmist that wrote this, is speaking to both. I will clothe her priests with salvation. And where's that salvation comes from? Comes from the Lord. When we participate in the salvific work of the Lord, and he does leave work for us to do, right? He does leave work for us. Obviously, he left the ministerial priest administration of the sacraments and taking care of the sheep, of taking care of the flock. As the shepherds, they take care of the sheep and the flock. For the rest of us, you know, he gives us salvation, allows us to participate in his works of salvation through evangelization, through the power of witnessing to our faith, by being his hands and his heart and his feet in the world. And always remember, when we talk about evangelization, I always say this, that people may meet Jesus and encounter the living God for the first time when they meet you. That's the first time that they're encountering the living God and his love and his mercy is their encounter with you. And hopefully through their encounter with you, they're drawn deeply to want to learn more and to experience more of the depth of God's love for them. by learning more and coming into communion, hopefully with the church. And her faithful shall ring out their joy, right? So the Psalms are meant to be sung, right? The Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, basically the Jewish hymnal, is what the Psalms are. And so we shall ring out our joy at the Lord, our heart and our soul, our bodies, everything, giving joyful praise to the Lord, because he blesses us, he fills us with the bread from heaven, he clothes us with salvation, you know, and because of that, we respond with joy. And that joy should not just be contained within us. That joy needs to be expressed in the world. We need to show the joy of the Lord, right? We need to show the joy of the Lord, the passion of the Lord, the love for the Lord, in how we how we carry ourselves, how we conduct ourselves, and when, especially when people malign us and persecute us and ridicule us, you know, respond with love. You know, Jesus says, you know, if someone strikes you, you know, you turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat, give them your cloak as well. You know, we respond with love, always remembering that every single person we encounter, even those that hate us and that we don't like ourselves, are made in God's image and likeness. And so that joy of our experience of encountering God should ring out in this culture and touch in some way every person that we meet.
Yeah, and it's also not just in the first encounter, but could be the only encounter. You know, in most, you know, workplaces or, you know, if you're in a shopping mall or whatever, I mean, there are moments where you're reflecting Christ into someone who is not getting it anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's interesting. When you talked about that, I was thinking about that movie Close Encounters of the First Kind, you know, where people are receiving, you know, these images of the mountain and stuff like that, and they're drawn there. You know, like something's drawing them there, and it's on that mountain where they have the encounter. You know, so it reminds me of Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor and being transfigured before them.
Yeah.
Jesus ascending to Mount Calvary, where he dies on the cross, and he's giving us that message of love and of salvation, of grace.
Yeah, and I realized too, my wife and I talk about this a lot, about the older we get, the more like the ideas of just going and getting lost in the mountains and the cabin and just being one with God. Like, it sounds so amazing, yeah. You know, in the noise of the world. It's like, yeah, let's, you know, make it maybe slightly warmer than probably most higher elevations might be. But,
yeah.
You know, outside of that, like, there is something to that connection that I think we oftentimes sacrifice joy and peace for either what the world is wanting us to do or what we think is the right thing. And we're not consulting God before we make choices. And so, you know, it gets too expensive when you let that joy go so easily.
Yeah. And I think reaching to the heights, whether it's the heights of our talents and abilities, or whether we're literally climbing the heights, there's something about being close to God, connecting with God somehow, you know?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think there's something to that, reaching higher, whether that's physical heights or the heights of our talents and abilities. There's something there.
Amen.
And to finish this off, I will make a stock sprout up for David. So David's, this message is for David and the descendants, which is all of us, right? Jesus is the son of David. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. I will cover his enemies with shame, but on him my crown shall shine. He will prepare a lamp. That lamp is the light of Christ. That lamp is Jesus Christ shining in the darkness. He will cover his enemies with shame, because the light will penetrate and eliminate the darkness. And the crown of salvation will shine upon the heads of all who are faithful to the Lord. All right. Evangelizing Without Words today. Waiting for your call. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Bringing back the 12 string.
Wow. God, I like that Mediterranean.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that's cool. Like a mandolin-y kind of Mediterranean feel there. I like that.
making
great
it percussive. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Woo!
That's your Friday feel good song right there.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, that's a great song going into the weekend, man.
Yep.
Nice vibe. Nice vibe. Change of pace. Like it. You know, we were talking during the break about how on this tour, you know, we've been doing the same talks.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, not, I'm doing obviously three different talks here in Denver, but during the tour, and I was like, because I used to think, musicians get, you know, they play the songs night after night after night after night. But, you know, I didn't get tired of doing the same talk every night on the Texas tour. You know, it's like, you were right. Like, the nuances, like, I'd say one thing one night, but something different the next night, or say something, or skip over something and include something else that I didn't include the night before.
Yeah.
So it's always dynamic. It's always fluid. It's never the same.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it why musicians do it as long as they do it. It's because they can do just enough of a different, or maybe even mix it up sometimes. I love it when they'll say, hey, we're going to do acoustic set. And so it's just enough different so you could take what's normally like I kind of equate like Eric Clapton's Layla. Like for him to have gone and done the acoustic version, like after years of doing the plugged in version, it just keeps it fresh, but yet it's still the same song, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's funny. Our last night in Orange, Texas, someone came up and said, oh, you know, I've heard you a version of that talk. I heard you give that talk, you know, probably at least 6 or 7 times. I always get something new from it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Just like I never get here tired of Queen singing Bohemian Rhapsody, which they've been playing for 40 years.
That's right. It's just a slight camera angle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Siri's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about evangelizing without words. Is that even possible? We know that Christ calls us to evangelize and witness to our faith, but do we always have to use words? That's the question we're asking today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we're getting into Advent season in a mind and a heart space, but Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica. What a way to cultivate a faithful heart for Christmas. I love this. It's available in the religious catalog right now if you want to find out ways to either gift it to your family for Advent season or just to really shape the hearts of someone that you know. You can find it in the religious catalog. Just shop EWTNRC.com.
All right, evangelizing without words is our topic today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Is it possible to witness to our faith, the beauty and truth of our Catholic faith, without using words? Great question. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Lori has been patiently holding, calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Lori, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Great to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. What would you like to share with us today?
Well, when I heard you ask how does a person evangelize without words, the first thing that came to my mind was the fact that a couple years ago, I had never been a person that wore a cross or a crucifix. And I asked my husband for one for Christmas. So that would have been Christmas of 2023. And so having never worn a cross regularly in public, I observed that people acted different. They treated me differently. I mean, people, everyone from shopkeepers to people I interacted with at the library or just friends or acquaintances, I noticed them noticing it, and I actually wore it on vacation in Thailand, which, of course, is a Buddhist country, and I just didn't think about it. It's like the necklace that I wear, and it was the necklace that I was wearing there, and people looked at it, and whether or not they say anything, I would say, I don't know, 10 to 20% of the time, people might say something to me, but I noticed them looking at it, and they will incorporate God or Christ or some comment about their own religion. But I know that it's a way to evangelize without words because I'm not saying anything. I know they notice it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Lori, 100%. And, you know, I do the same thing, too. I'll tell you why. There's different rules for different dioceses about wearing clericals, like what the priests wear, you know, with the Roman collar. So when I'm traveling and speaking, I'm not allowed to wear clerics. So that's fine, you know. So what I do, though, I do wear a crucifix with a miraculous medal. And I mean crucifix. So a cross is just the cross without the body of the Lord on it. A crucifix is a cross with the corpus, with the body of the Lord on it. So that's the difference between a cross and a crucifix. But either way, you know, that sign is an evangelizing witness. You know, and I wear miraculous medal along with my crucifix to show that, again, Mary at the foot of the cross. And also, it's just, you know, a reminder that my mom is close to me. You know, my mom died in 2009, and I still feel very close to her. And so wearing that, the crucifix, miraculous medal, and it's a witness. I mean, I'm just dressed in regular clothes, but I have that outside. I do have a miraculous medal and Holy Face of Jesus medals inside that I wear close to my chest. But on the outside of my clothes, I always wear that crucifix, miraculous medal. And Laura, you bring up a good point, because you're not wearing it to draw attention to yourself. You're not, look at me, look what I'm a Christian. No, you're not doing that. You're just simply witnessing. By wearing it is the witness. And you don't have to say anything. You're absolutely spot on, Lori. And keep wearing it. That's a powerful sign and witness. You know, and many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, you see the women wearing the hijab or the man wearing a kufi. Or you see you talk about Buddhists. The Buddhists wear their habits in public. When many times at airports, on planes, I see Buddhists wearing their habits, or our Jewish brothers and sisters wearing their, you know, their black suit with the hat or a yarmulke, and they're wearing their hair is long braided, and they're wearing tassels and phylacteries and things like that. And, you know, it's a powerful sign and witness. And we need more of that, please. And I do have people that look at that. And you see their faces, their noses turn up, or they turn away because they don't want to look at it. But more often than not, I have people that come to me and say, thank you. Thank you for your witness. Thank you for the sign. Thank you for wearing I love your cross or something like that. You know, although it's a crucifix, but that's fine. I love it. That kind. I mean, I get more comments than that. And again, I'm not trying to draw attention, but it's a sign and a witness. And me, I am not embarrassed or ashamed of my faith. And as an ordained minister, that's just, again, an outward sign of witness of the inward reality of a relationship, a deep, intimate relationship that I try to foster every day with the Lord. So beautiful call, Lori. We're talking about evangelizing without words today. Is that even possible on Beacon of Truth? Would love to hear from you. How do we witness to the power of our faith without using a bunch of words? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Marianne is calling from Washington State, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Marianne, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, hello. It's so good to talk to you. This is a great topic because, as I was telling your call screen, that I was a high school teacher in a public school system, and you do not, you know, you cannot say anything about God or your religion. I mean, I could have gotten fired on the spot. And if I made a comment and some student would go home and say, well, Mom, did you know that Miss Marianne said, you know, something about God or something, it would come back to me. So I had to be so careful about what I would say. So I had to basically walk the walk. And so I would like do things, try to like incorporate, my faith through my actions, how to, you know, survive in this world. I worked with a lot of very hardcore kids, some of them were actual gang members and everything. Mm. And so when they would come back later after they've graduated or, you know, gone on wherever and say, you know, you made such a difference in my life because you were the way you were so kind or the way you embraced me as a human being. You didn't see as I walked through the door, oh, that's the kid that steals, or that's the kid that is, you know, a gang member, or that I called him by name. I would, you know, so things like this. And I didn't realize the impact that I was giving until, you know, like I said, they came back, or I was talking with the, we were in a Bible study thing, and our deacon said, do you realize what you have done? And I said, well, no, I was just, you know, being me. And he goes, that's amazing. And I mean, that hit my heart. You know, I said, no, that's not me. That wasn't me. That's the Holy Spirit coming right through, you know? So that's what I wanted to tell you. I mean, because it's like this topic, like, you know, really hits my heart. You can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You are absolutely spot on. And the beautiful thing that I love, you evangelize and witness by doing what? By being Christ to those kids. You know, you lived out in Matthew 5. Well, Matthew 5, the 7th Sermon on the Mount starts off with the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. And you're living those Beatitudes, seeing the image, Genesis 1:27, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And seeing that in the person standing in front of you, regardless of their race, regardless of their socioeconomic status or background, regardless whether they were gangbangers or not, you saw Christ in those kids. And those kids may not have any religious background at all, but they experienced the power of Christ's love by the way you treated them. You treated them. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You did that. You witnessed it without any medals, without any, just by being who you are as an amazing woman of God and witnessing to that. And that, and people can see that there's something there. They can't put their hands on it. It's not tangible. They can't, but there's something there that they know. What is it about this person? There's something about them. What is it? You know, and you exuded that for these kids. And you're right. It does make a difference in these kids' lives. It really does. I come from a home where my parents are divorced. My dad wasn't there. And my mom, you know, raised us. But there were other men, other that came into my life that witnessed to the power of God's love, you know, and it was awesome. So I'm very much a recipient of that kind of experience too. So keep it up, Marianne. What a beautiful witness. And if we can all do something what Marianne did, it'll make a huge difference in our culture. Absolutely. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sibbers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about evangelizing without words. Is that even possible to witness to our faith without using words? That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Rosalina is a first-time caller calling from Jacksonville, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Rosalina, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you. I love listening to your show. I'm very grateful for everything you do in your service. So I work with a wonderful group of administrators in the public school system who are very Christian, but they're not Catholic. And so we were talking the other day about the priesthood, because one of my colleagues brought in communion, and she asked, you know, if we would take communion. And I talked about, you know, that I've was that the body was the one that the name of Christ, and I couldn't accept what, you know, she was providing, but I'd be happy to pray, you know, commune in other ways with them. Anyway, so when she mentioned, you know, that she had said that we're all priests, and then you had mentioned in your psalm earlier about the difference between the ministerial priesthood and the legacy priesthood, and I was wondering if you could expand that a little more so I could speak more confidently next time I have the opportunity to talk with you about it.
Yeah, sure. So there's only one priesthood in Christ, right? In the Old Testament, there was a threefold hierarchy. There was the Melchizedekian priesthood, which is a family priesthood, which was the grandfather was the high priest, the father was the priest, and the son was the Levite, the son was like the deacon, the servant who served the priest and the high priest. After the golden calf incident at Mount Sinai, the Levitical priesthood took over. So the Levites, which is kind of a 13th tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, they're the priestly tribe, that became the high priest, the priest, and the Levites, who were the deacons. So Jesus puts all of that together at the Last Supper. He institutes the ministerial priesthood, the bishops, priests, and deacons. But also, we by our baptism that initiates us into the life of faith, all of us, every baptized person, shares in the one priesthood of Christ. There's only one priesthood, the priesthood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But all of us share in it in two specific ways. One, by baptism, we participate in the priesthood of Christ. So in a sense, we're all priests, quote-unquote priests, priest, prophet, and king. Those are the charisms we receive at baptism. Again, the priestly charism is offering, because the main job of priests is to offer sacrifice. So we make an offering or a sacrifice of our lives. The prophet is the one who's authorized to speak the word of God, which is what we're talking about today, evangelizing, witnesses to the power of our faith. That's how we evangelize, by witnessing to the beauty and truth of our faith in Jesus Christ. And the king is the one who serves. So we have to put our faith into tangible action, especially for those who are poor and depressed, who are depressed, who are sad, who don't know Jesus, all those different ways. So that's how we participate baptized Christians in the ministerial life of Christ, the ministerial mission of Christ. But there's also the ministerial priesthood, you know, priests, bishops, and deacons that participate in serving the priesthood of all believers, right? The baptismal priesthood. So our job is to help administer the sacraments and to be that official evangelizing witness of the church, of Holy Mother Church, to all the faithful. So I hope that's helpful for you. And thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it very, very much. We're talking about evangelizing without words today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. How do we witness to the power of our faith without using a lot of words, or maybe no words at all? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Judy is calling from Olympia, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Judy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. Oh, Deacon, this is just such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for everything you do. I just love your program. I am calling because I have a miraculous medal that a friend gave me, and it's a necklace that's rather ornate. And somehow people just seem to notice it. And quite a bit, people will say to me, oh my gosh, that's so pretty. What is that? Or who is that? And I just freeze up. I don't know what to say. I know we're talking about not saying anything with words, but I just say it's Mother Mary. It's the, you know, the mother of Jesus. And it's just, I feel like I could say something better or more engaging. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, maybe a way to engage Judy would be by asking a question. You, and what you said was true. What is that? Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, it's a depiction of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's the mother of Jesus. You know, are you a person of faith? Or do you know much about Mary? Oh, well, no, you know, and so now you're engaging in a dialogue, see? So by explaining, oh, this is what it is, and then asking a question, you know, you're drawing the person in. And you can just explain from your heart. You don't have to be a theologian and all this deep theology about Mary. You could talk about your relationship with her. But somebody said, well, okay, well, why are you wearing that? You know, I thought you guys follow Jesus. Ah, now that opens the door for you to be able to talk about the who Mary is and how she helps us to stay close to Jesus. You know, the greatest human being ever created is a wife and a mother. And how and wearing that reminds you of how how she draws us into a relationship with Christ. Yeah, we can have a relationship with Christ, but you know, the mother is the great intercessor. You know, she's the one who draws us ever even closer to her son. You know, that's what moms do. You know, moms are proud of their kids, and he wants, and Mary always draws us closer to Jesus. Something like that. Very simple. As a way of just continuing the discussion, you know, and they may say, oh, okay, very good. And they left, but guess what, Judy, you just planted a seed. Now that person is going to be thinking about what you said. It's a very simple thing you said, but that's something that may stay with them. And the Lord may use that seed as the first step to bringing that person closer to Jesus. You know, so that's, was that helpful at all, Judy?
Oh, my gosh, yes, that is perfect.
Oh,
I really
appreciate
it, and thank you so much.
Oh, you are most welcome. So glad you called today. We're talking about evangelizing without words today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mark is calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 130. Mark, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. Great to hear from you.
So, in a simple way, I tell people you can always use those Catholic calendars that you that we get at Christmas time every year, right? I put them up in the office, and it turned out that I met somebody after our conversation. Turns out he asked me, "Are you Catholic?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh," he goes, "I'm a convert," you know. And so we've kept in touch. He's now even a Catholic deacon as well. But the main thing I do, and I thought of, is when I go out to the our local Planned Parenthood, and of how I like to wear sweatshirts or T-shirts that'll have some type of message on there, make the people think, number one, we're relatable to them, that in terms of they might think that they're college graduates, and I'll wear college stuff out there just to have a connection. But this, I'll also wear a dog lodge. Our kids used to work at a dog lodge in Chapel Hill, and so it says Green Beagle Dog Lodge, and on the back it even says think positive, in a sense, you know. But the main sweatshirt I'll be wearing, like, tomorrow morning is from the Catholic Church in Chapel Hill, that it's a pro-life sweatshirt that says love, let's live. So it's like letting the T-shirts and the sweatshirts, like, make impressions on people that they can see things and recognize that we're not the mean, bad people. You know, we're relatable, and, you know, we love more than just, we love humans, of course, but we love everything else too.
Absolutely. That's a great way to effectively evangelize. Medals, T-shirts, crucifix in the office, the calendar up on the wall. All those are very effective means. I mean, I see it in the airport all the time. You know, sometimes the messages are a little bit, you know, you know, not very Christian. You know, the things weren't on the T-shirts. There was one on the plane the other day, my body, my choice, kind of a thing. But that's sending a message. Right? What do we call that now? With lawn signs and stuff, virtue signaling, right? So, all those are effective ways. And thank you for sharing that. It may give some people some great ideas, Mark. Thank you for that. Let's go with the time we have left to Maria, calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Maria, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, how are you? I'm so happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Glad to have you on.
So I was on my way from work going home, and I heard the topic you're talking about. I am a hairstylist, and I have my own suite. So I made my own suite my sacred space. I bring church to the people to come get their hair done. So I have a picture of my Blessed Mother. I have a rosary. I have a crucifix. I have scripture all over. I have a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane for the reason that I love adoration, and God has asked me to bring people to Him. Adoration. So having that picture of Garden of Gethsemane opened so many questions and conversations, and that's my way of evangelizing without words.
All right. What a powerful witness and a great way to end our time together on the show. Thank you, everybody, for the great ideas. Evangelizing without words. All right. Well, Monday we're going to take a look at stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. Ooh, good topic. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentral.ew10.com/radio. And don't forget to celebrate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, one of the great deacons of the church. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.